the 9 billion names of God. Dear Mr. Scholes, regarding your submission, the 9 billion names of God, I shouldn't even bother to respond, but I don't want you to think that I'm gullible. Plagiarism occurs in science fiction as elsewhere, but I've never before seen anyone submit a word-for-word copy of another story, let alone a story as well-known as Arthur C. Clarke's The 9 Billion Names of God. For you to imagine that any editor could fail to recognize the story implies a real ignorance of and contempt for our field. In the future, I will not welcome your submissions. Sincerely, Robert Sales, Editor, Novus Science Fiction. Dear Mr. Sales, well, this is what comes of submitting without a cover letter. Of course, I knew you would recognize Clarke's story, and I hoped that you would infer the reasoning behind my story, which I freely admit is word for word the same as Clarke's. Nonetheless, there are important differences, which I shall explain. First, this story could not have been written today. Too much of the internal evidence is against it. If a reader recognizes the story, the clue is obvious, and his disorientation is instant. Otherwise, an uneasiness will grow at mention of the Mark V computer with its thousands of calculations a second, also the electromatic typewriters, Sam, Jaffe, and other obvious anachronisms. On top of this, I have avoided using the conventional meanings of words. For example, when I use machine, I intend a vast and barren expanse of land, or an outmoded philosophical system. Naturally, this presents difficulties. The invention or redefinition of words is nothing new to science fiction, but I doubt if it has ever been done on this scale, where every single word in a story has a meaning unique to that story. Oh, the new meanings are all tabulated in the glossary that I chose not to submit, economy being the first virtue of art. A short story with explanatory notes the length of a novel would be ridiculous. So there is enough depth here to interest a reader. There is the mask of the Clarke narrative, behind which lurks my own narrative, told in my invented language. And behind that is the story of my story, how a contemporary work of prose came to resemble, superficially, a science fiction story of the 1950s. These are deep questions of context. As the identical arrangement of letters may mean differently in different languages, so my arrangement of words means very differently than Clarke's. There is more, but I think this is sufficient for now. The story is difficult, I admit, but not inaccessible. I think your readers are intelligent enough to deal with it. Of course, I understand your reluctance. After all, if I may say so, your publication has gained a certain reputation for stodginess, and your more conservative readers would probably find the 9 billion names of God too avant-garde. Yours, Carter Scholes. Dear Mr. Scholes, are you for real? Are you saying you've used the words of Clarke's story to stand in one for one for other words like a cryptograph? That's absurd. I don't believe a word of it. Even the idea is derivative. I'm sure I've seen it in Borges. In its most basic form, this notion of changing the context of an artifact might make a readable story, but certainly not this way. There's no need to blame my conservative readers for the rejection. Just blame me. Sincerely, Robert Sales. Dear Mr. Sales, since you ask, here is the revised manuscript. As you can see, no words have been changed, but experience should teach you to look further. I have revised my glossary and appendices and changed some rules of the grammar, along with quite a lot of the history of the world from which this artifact purports to come. Also, a nice touch, I think, the articles in the story all have been restored to their original meanings. A is A, the is the, etc. There is so much information in the world already, but I find it more revealing to create new contexts than new information. It would be more accurate to compare my work to Warhol or Duchamp than Clarke or Borges, whom, in any case, I have not read. Sincerely, Carter Scholes. Dear Mr. Scholes, incredible. I had no idea you would resubmit your story with revisions, no less. I am re-returning it. I don't want to see it again, ever. I don't care if it's really derivative of Duchamp or Warhol or Gustave Flaubert. Just leave me alone, R.S. Dear Mr. Sales, this time I'm lowering my sights a little. I think you'll find this story really funny. It's a kind of parody by repetition. This kind of parody is effective with works of a Baroque nature. I mean, works based on the logical, exhaustive permutations of a few principles. Science fiction stories are Baroque because they are the intellectual children of empiricism. So they tend to offer explanations, and they tend to exhaust a limited repertoire of materials. Now, the ambition of explanations is to be complete, so such systems tend to be closed, and this closure leads naturally to repetition and counterfeiting, endlessly evident in rack after rack of books about plucky young wizards or wise-cracking starship tailgunners. The sportive elan of early science fiction has spiraled into an abortive ennui, and its writers face an endgame situation where the remaining moves are few and predictable. Clark's monks naming the names of God from AAAAAA to ZZZZZZ, with the help of the computer, no more surely faced the end of their world. My counterfeit of Clark is more interesting, more purely speculative than this other sort of plagiarism. Here, the very act of quoting becomes parody, much like the act of moving a soup can from the supermarket to a gallery. It makes ridiculous the soup, the gallery, the audience, and the artist. It unites them. Sincerely, Carter Scholes. Oh, P.S. There are several refinements in this draft. I hope you don't think I'm overworking it. Since each time I submit it, its context has changed. Of course, you're not really seeing the same story again. There are no agains in this game. Dear Mr. Scholes, no, I see no changes in the story, but you are definitely overworking me. You seem to have a good mind. Why not do something constructive with your time? Save yourself postage and save me grief. Yours again, still, and for the last time, Bob Sales. Dear Mr. Sales, a text admits of numerous interpretations. The interpretations become more numerous as time passes. More important, it seems to me, is the act of reprinting the 9 billion names of God today. Presenting it in that context sets up a series of speculations more interesting than those raised by most of the stories you publish. This matter of context is a kind of last question for art, literature, and ultimately science fiction. The real story always lies outside the words, in context, implication, and association, in what is not written. Surely you can see that. Let us be brave and pursue the implications of our activities. Sincerely, Carter Scholes. Dear Mr. Scholes, how would it be if I bought the story and didn't publish it? Would that get you off my back? All the quotes in your last letter gave me eye strain, and I'm beginning to dread opening my mail. Yours, Sales. Dear Mr. Sales, since I am obviously among friends, since you understand that words mean only what we are conditioned to think they mean, legitimated in dictionaries according to the biases of lexicographers, I will dispense with the quotes. And I'll tell you something which I previously withheld. My story, The 9 billion Names of God, was generated by a computer. But let me approach this new development by stages. Like any number of people, your mailbox must be jammed with their efforts. I once thought I would like to write science fiction. For several years I worked at it, until the notion had passed from a hobby to an avocation to a passion to an obsession. Never has so much energy been turned to such small account. I failed. Utterly, exhaustively, repeatedly, daily, yearly, by degrees and in large lots, I failed. I collected a tower of rejections informing me it had all been done better and probably with less effort by Clifford Simak or Kurt Siodmak in 1947. And in truth, looking over my millions of failed words, I could no longer tell whether they were very much better, very much worse, or about the same as the published works I had set out to emulate. Well, by now I was not in my right mind. Have you ever lain awake at night, repeating a word over and over until it loses all meaning? Entire stories reached that pitch for me. In my sleep, I would get rejection letters about my own dreams. So I gave it back. I gave it up. I gave it up and went back to school. My graduate studies were about randomness. In one course, I made a random number program to simulate the motion of gas molecules in a closed space. I used the numbers to select words from a dictionary and generate random texts. Late at night, I found this incoherence soothing. But one night, in the midst of this placid gibberish, the machine suddenly gave out the complete text of the 9 billion names of God. Well, as in cliche fiction, the hackles did stand on my neck. I printed out the pages. I checked the network in vain for any sign of a prankster. I shut down the machine and went home. and there I compared my printout to the published Clark's text. Word for word, it was the same. There was nothing strange about it, except for where and how it had appeared. After a few stiff drinks, I began to feel light-hearted, for there it was, at last, the product of my labors, a vindication, a light at the end of a closed universe. I had produced a real science fiction story and a certified classic at that. However obliquely, I had become a science fiction writer. I had, in fact, with exactly the same words, achieved more subtlety, depth, and irony than Clark himself. How could I doubt it? For unlike Clark's story, mine could be verified at the atomic level. Well, I thought to give myself the Fields Prize for Math and a Nebula Award for Best Story. In a fever, I devised my histories, my glossaries, and so on, as I have previously explained. I created a unique context for an extant text, a story as commonplace in the world of science fiction as Campbell's soup is to tout le monde. But this brings me to the central problem. If gas molecules or their stand-ins, capering at random, can produce a pattern equivalent to the pattern of words in the 9 billion names of God, or indeed in time any text, even those not yet written, then why write? An author publishes from doubt, I think. He wants the world to regard him as real, substantial, genuine. But in this case, does such confirmation matter? Can one persuade molecules? The pattern of any story can be found in the random phenomena of nature. The air hums. Daily, the 10,000 things recite all 9 billion names. A rainstorm, a gust of wind, the bending of a tree, heat waves, all are instinct with a wisdom beyond signs, more engaging than any story because they encompass and can engender all stories. You may find a story in a tree, but never a tree in a story, only the constellation of letters, T-R-E-E, and the crushed remains of one in the paper. So why tell stories if all the stories that ever could be are told constantly in the wind and the rain? And that's the real last question. Do we need fiction? Do we need science? I labored years with my ambition and have learned that it is pointless. The end of ambition is to end ambition, just as the point of a fiction is to subsume lesser fictions. And the end point of all fiction is to reach that supreme fiction, the world, though not without a journey. But we have taken that journey before. In our stories, we have gone past Mercury and Pluto, inclined in worshipful orbit to our great gods, speed and death, those creators and annihilators of meaning. We have turned 1,000 times in 1,000 tales. We have seen the engines of our imagination actually built and lifted into space, and they have not ameliorated our plight. I think we may never reach a plain sense of things as long as we have either science or fiction to hide behind. The story of my story ends here. Believing this, I must withdraw my manuscript from submission. I hope you understand. I'd rather not see any more stories published anywhere. Thank you for your interest. Sincerely, Carter Scholes. Dear contributor, we are returning your manuscript because publication of Novus Science Fiction has been discontinued. Thank you for your interest. The editor.